All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable with Rick Delgado. Exclusively on All Business Media.
And welcome to All Business Media, where it's all business all the time. And yes, I am your host, Rick Delgado. And welcoming back to the show is a lovely lady based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. She's an author, and you can reach out to her a couple different ways. You can reach her by phone at 513-351-1409, or better yet, go to her website, JenelleWhite.com. That's J-E-N-N-E-L-L-E, White, W-H-I-T-E.com, JenelleWhite.com, or you can just say hello to her right now, right here. Janelle White, the aforementioned. Thank you so much for coming back to the show, and how are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
All right. Well, thanks for taking time out of your day to join us. Now, I know we've had you on a few times before. We've talked about what you do and your books and stuff, but we always have new listeners checking us out for the first time, Janelle. So do me a favor and just tell everybody a little bit about yourself and exactly what you do.
Okay. Well, I am a registered nurse. Also, there's different things that I've done. I'm a registered nurse. That's my primary career, as long as an author and a writer. I'm also a medical assistant poet and a self-published author of two books. I also have diplomas from correspondence courses in wildlife and forestry conservation, parapsychology, and I'm an animal care specialist.
Oh, very nice. And now, how long, because you know, everybody hears, okay, you're a registered nurse, what the heck are you doing writing books?
Well, I just, you know, just something to happen. I had an idea about my money savings plan and children's poetry, and I basically ran with it.
Right.
Thus, I just created two books on these subjects.
See, and that's another thing people are probably scratching their head over. They're like, well, Janelle White, she says she's a nurse, so how come she's not writing nursing books?
Well, that's a good question. I just, you know, basically I wrote with what I felt that I loved and enjoyed, and basically, when I would see things, I would write about it, and so I started to think about doing this. It's just something that just happened.
Yeah.
I don't know why I haven't written a nursing book, but it was just something that I didn't write about. There's a lot of books out there with nursing.
Right.
So I wanted to write about something different.
And something you're probably passionate about, right?
Right, exactly.
And one of those things that you've been passionate about is, you know, easy ways to save money.
Absolutely. Yes, it is.
And again, we're talking about one of the two books that you can get from Janelle White. She's an author. Go to her website, JenelleWhite.com. You can also get those books on Amazon, Books A Million, BarnesandNoble.com. Just put in Janelle White, and boom, her books will come up. Now, let me ask you about the first one, because, again, I know we've talked about it before, and we can talk about it, you know, probably every day, and you'll still have new people going, wait, what? Huh? You're right. I do need to save money. How the heck do I get started, but I don't make enough, and I've got all these debts, and I've got this issue, and my job doesn't pay me enough. Tell me about the easiest short/long-term plan for saving money.
Okay. Well, this is a savings plan that I have devised, but I have classified it as being unique. It's easy to understand, and it's universal. And the reason why it's unique is because I believe it's the only plan out there that's of its kind. You can also visually see what you'll save before it even happens. It's easy to save money regardless of your debt, your job, occupation, and location. And it only involves two steps. It's easy to understand because it has basic math. It involves basic math, rather. You don't have to be a financial guru or an investor to use this plan. And it's universal in that it benefits everyone. Its possibilities are endless with using this plan.
Right.
It benefits everyone, like, for instance, people that work a 9-to-5 job, people saving for retirement or vacations, or even teachers who are teaching kids how to save money that are coming along.
Right. And again, I think the one part there, because it can be extremely, I guess, it's kind of a daunting task sometimes to look at your finances and come to come to grips with, you know, what you're staring at. It can be very intimidating to people, but I think the fact that you said it involves just basic math, which probably takes a big burden. It's like, oh, good, I don't have to do fractions.
that's true. And I meant to repeat the quote from Blue Ink Review. They said of all of the books that are out there, it has the most truthful title.
Right. And again, it's a personal finance book. And a lot of times people don't realize, you know, they're heading down certain roads. They keep using credit cards. They're not paying attention. Sometimes, you know, you kind of get all caught up, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses. And then all of a sudden you find out, much like the Joneses, everybody's broke.
Right. Uh-huh.
So this book actually gives you two easy ways. And we can't even talk about them, or else there's no reason to get the book.
Yeah.
But as Janelle points out, it's very easy to understand. She made it very simple. It only involves basic math. So whether you want to start saving 10, 20, or 30% or whatever, you got to start with something. This book will at least give you a plan with two easy steps and teaches you how to save money more easily, better, and makes it affordable no matter, you know, what your income level is, right?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. And again, that book is available on Amazon, Books A Million, or BarnesandNoble.com. It's called The Easiest Short Long-Term Plan for Saving Money by author Janelle White. Hey, let me ask you this. Now, with the other book, which is completely different. Again, it's something completely different than the money book. It's called Growing Up Poetry, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
And what was the inspiration for this?
The inspiration for writing this book?
Yeah.
Is, you know, when you're young and you experience things when you're a child, my biggest, I guess, inspiration for that was nursery rhymes, Mother Goose nursery rhymes.
Right.
Different books like Dr. Seuss. These are books that inspire me to write a poetry book for children to enjoy as well.
And it's a picture book as well, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
And how easy is it for, you know, for reading purposes? Is it you know, four and up, that kind of thing?
It's from ages 2 to 7 years old.
Oh, very nice.
Uh-huh, 2 to 7.
So you made it extremely accessible in terms of the reading level for kids.
Right. Both children and adults can enjoy the experience, the joys of these poems. I've heard grandmothers, parents that have read the book to the children, and several people have told me that their kids will have them sit for hours. One quoted to me 2 hours for reading the poems, how much they enjoyed it. It also inspires children because I have poems in there about the environment, saving the environment, and also savoring the innocence of youth.
Right.
As well in there, that it inspires. It gives people a sense of peace and happiness.
Well, very nice. Now, let me ask you this, because, you know, we all know what's coming up in a couple weeks.
Uh-huh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about Halloween?
Yes, I am.
yes, I am.
are there any scary poems or Halloween poems in the book?
I do have one. Yes, I do.
Oh, you do?
Yes,
all right.
I do. Uh-huh.
Well, very good. And is that something you want to share, or do you want to just...
Well, yes it is. But I wanted to also share with the audience what led up to me writing this poem is because I had different experiences in hospitals and nursing homes with a few little scary ghost stories.
Oh, no. You got ghost stories?
Yes, I do.
You know what? And I'm so torn, Janelle, when it comes to ghosts and stuff like that, because part of me believes it. It really does. Like, I take it seriously.
Right.
But the other part doesn't want to acknowledge it because I don't want to give it any power, you know, and basically scare the poop out of my pants. you know what I mean? Because the last thing I want to do is be at home and have that, whatever it is, mess me up.
I agree.
Especially because the house that I live in was originally, I guess the original part of the house was built in 1890. So So it's an old house in an old village here in New York. And it's just like, and there's a bunch of the houses in that area that have that old, you know, 1800s build.
Right.
And I've heard some stories, and my girlfriend's really, she feels these things when they're there, and she goes, oh, have you noticed the little boy? I'm like, don't even talk to me. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to. She goes, no, I saw him. He was in the bathroom. I don't want care. I don't want to know. He wears this. I'm like, no, don't tell me what he wears.
I know. Isn't it scary? What my experience is at the hospital and nursing homes is there were things that have happened there that we can't explain.
Right.
I mean, there's no way to explain power what happened. So, you know, it's chalked off to what, you know, why did this occur?
Right. Now, what kind of experiences are you talking about?
Okay, well, the first one that I was going to share with the audience and you is the, it's considered called a call light. And it was at the time when I was working at a nursing home.
Right.
Do I have time to go into it? Or
oh, yeah.
You know,
no, take all the time you want. I got to hear this.
Okay.
Because part of me wants to be afraid, and then part of me doesn't want to believe it.
Okay. when I was at the nursing home, I was the nurse at the time, and I had one other nurse's aide with me. We were working that one unit by ourselves, and it was night shift. I was working the night shift. They called it the graveyard shift.
Of course they do.
Yeah. So we had one wing of the nursing home, so it was just me and her. And we decided that, and I was working part-time at the time, so when I came in, I had no knowledge of what had happened. So all of a sudden, the call light went off. Now, this nursing home was one of the few that I have worked at, that when the nurses get a call light,
right.
you push the button, you answer it. But this was set up where the nurses and the nurse's aide had to go back to the room to find out what the patient needed, and you had to turn off the call light in the room. It wasn't set up at the station to turn it off. You had
to
go in the room and turn it off. So this one particular night, the call light went off, and the girl, we'll just call her D.
Okay.
She said, "Janelle, where is that coming from?" And I said, "Room such and such." I forget the room number. And she looked at me. She came down the hallway. She said, "What?" And I said, "Room such and such." I was going to say 222 or something like that. So she said, "Are you serious?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, I'll go down and check out. I said, "You go ahead and finish what you're doing." She says, no, there's nobody in that room.
Oh.
And I said, what? And I said, Miss So-and-so was in there, wasn't she? And she said, yeah, but she had passed away 2 days ago. And I said, there's nobody in there? You don't have anybody new in there? And she said, no. I said, well, we got to go in and turn it off because it keeps ringing. So me and her locked arms and went down the hallway. And we turned on the lights, went in the room, and the call light was ringing. So we turned it off. And I said, you don't think any of the other patients got up and went in here, do you? And she said, no, everybody's sleeping in bed. So I said, well, let's just shut the door, okay?
Right.
We'll just come out of here. Since there's nobody in here, we'll just close the door. Well, we went on back to our work. About 5 minutes later, the call light goes off again. So the second time, me and her both are scared. We have to go back in there and turn out the light. So that's one of our ghostly tales.
So now after it happened the second time, did you guys disable it or what happened?
Well, we just turned it off. It didn't come back on again.
Oh, it didn't come back on
again?
We turned
it off, and there was no way we could disable it unless the maintenance would have unplugged it from the wall. We weren't allowed to do that.
Right.
So we just, you know, turned it off. It didn't happen again.
Dang. So let me guess. You guys were locked arms again when you went down there
the second time? Yes, we were. More so this time because we shut the door. We thought maybe somebody got up and played a prank, you know.
Right.
But nobody went in there because all the other patients were asleep.
Now, because, of course, you know, again, all this stuff really messes with me sometimes. Now, when you guys went into that room,
uh-huh.
Like the first thing, did you turn the light on and check like every corner?
Yes, we did. Uh-huh. Because there was only two beds in the room.
Right.
And, you know, I had worked part-time. I didn't know the little lady that was there had passed away. She was ill, and she had passed away. And I was thinking that, you know, maybe it was her or maybe somebody else because I hadn't had a chance to check
things
just yet with the room numbers and stuff. I mean, you know, you get a list. You have a list of your patients. I was busy setting up the meds and stuff, and we were rushing to get our work done so we could get everything done. And that's when she told me that she had passed away. And I thought a lot of times the beds fill quickly. They put people in the beds after, you know, person's either been moved or they died.
Right.
So that's, you know, and that's why she came down and looked at me with a frown on her face because she said, there's nobody in there. She worked every day.
She may have passed away, but she didn't leave yet.
Yeah. It was creepy, and especially at night, you know.
Oh,
going down
imagine.
That dark hallway, and it's scary.
Now, about what time of night did this happen?
I would say about 12 midnight.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
All right.
I think if I remember correctly, it was around 12 midnight.
All right, because usually what they say is usually the time a lot of this kind of stuff happens is around 3 a.m., devil's hour or whatever they call it.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy. Okay, you creeped me out. I got to take a break.
Okay.
Again, we're talking to author Janelle White out of Cincinnati, Ohio. Her website, JanelleWhite.com, JenelleWhite.com, or give her a call, 513-351-1409 is the number. Going to take a quick break when we come back, more with our guest Janelle right after these words right here on All Business Media.
Aloha to all you lovebirds out there. Are you thinking about a destination wedding? Let I Do Hawaiian Weddings help you realize that dream. We specialize in Hawaiian destination weddings. Our unique knowledge of the islands and vast experience with amazing locations will help us create the destination wedding of your dreams. We can help you celebrate your love for each other with a sandy beach wedding, flower lei and bouquet, photography and videography, limousine transportation, hula dancing, ukulele music, and a beautiful dove release. We can even assist you with marriage license and online paperwork. I Do Hawaiian Weddings is all about love. So visit us on the web at idohawaiianweddings.com or call us at 808-330-5555 to realize your dream destination wedding in Hawaii now.
Are you in pain, depressed, anxious, unhappy, low self-esteem holding you back? Let Gail Rayborn help you. She's a catalyst for healing with powerful intuition. A clinical and medical hypnotherapist, she'll work with you by telephone to speed healing from emotional and health challenges. Gail Rayborn offers pre- and post-surgical hypnosis, hypnosis for pain control, cancer, IBS, and other illnesses. You'll connect with inner guides and learn the message behind your health challenge. See Gail on the web at www.telehealing.com or email her gail@telehealing.com or give her a call at 707-827-3615. Your first session is free. All you have to lose is pain.
All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable with Rick Delgado. Exclusively on All Business Media.
And welcome back to All Business Media. And yes, I am your host, Rick Delgado. And again, we're sitting with our guest, Janelle White, the author out of Cincinnati, Ohio. You may know her from her full-time work as a nurse, but get to know her as her passion, which is author. Reach out to her at 513-351-1409, or better yet, go to her website, JanelleWhite.com. And again, a nice round of applause for Janelle. And thank you for joining us, Janelle, as always.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You got me in the Halloween mood now. Now I'm thinking of all the creepy stuff that's out there, Janelle.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you've got an interesting background. And not only are you a nurse, but you've also seen some things. And I'll just say some things. That most people haven't, you know, you may believe it, you may not. You know,
right.
There's that thinking that, well, unless I see it, unless I can touch it and feel it, I don't believe anything somebody says.
Right.
And that's fine. But there are things out there that are unexplained, correct?
Correct.
And we're talking about, I guess we're talking about your experiences with cryptozoology. Some of the things that you've seen over the past, you know.
And that's one of the poems I wrote was Believe that brought in about cryptozoology that I had cited at one of the other shows we had.
Right.
Is Believe.
Yeah, and again, it's because there are things out there that you can't explain, whether it be ghosts, which we were just talking about, or maybe things that are, you know, Bigfoot, that kind of thing, Loch Ness Monster, you know what I mean. All that kind of stuff. You know, and you've had that experience in your background as well.
Yes, I have.
Now, has that been an influence in terms of, you know, because you did write that one poem, Believe.
Right.
But does that influence other ways that in your life that you are now? Because now that you're like, I realize that this stuff is out there and you're kind of more open-minded?
Yes, it has. I've always kind of been open-minded ever since I was young. And, you know, even more now when you hear eyewitness reports and things that I have experienced, yes, it did kind of influence the way that I have led, you know, that I'm going on in life.
Right.
Because these things do happen. Some people don't believe, and those are reasons. Another show I had done with you all that explained the reasons why people don't believe, several reasons why they don't believe.
Right.
You know, based on their maybe their religious background. Like you said, if they don't see it and can't feel it, they don't believe it. And it shakes up people's reality. Some people will say, no, you know, this is, you know, this is the way we've been taught. You know, this is not, you know, fair. So it shakes up their sense of reality.
Yes, and this goes against all that, and I don't want to acknowledge it. That's like me. It's like if I see, like, a black crow all of a sudden sitting near me, I'll be like, I got to leave. That to me seems like bad juju.
Well, I also had another experience at the hospital as
Oh, no. All right.
This was the hospital that I worked at for a long time. I can't really give out the name.
No, that's okay, and I don't expect you to.
Hospital, and it was, I called this one the menacing sound in the medical clinic. And what happened with that was, it was my task to go in, and we had a medical clinic, and we'll just call it a D clinic.
Okay.
The letter D. And it was a small clinic. It was old because it's been several years old before they tore the place down. But in the back room, they had like a little swing door. You go in there.
Right.
Where people sit behind the desk. You have a refrigerator where you keep your medication that had to be defrosted. So I unplugged it to defrost it because all that water and stuff would catch in the little cup, the little bowl area, and you have to defrost it. So I also was responsible for counting the narcotics. And nurses that changed the shift would come in, we would count the nitro cabinet. And then the next day, and then I'd have to come back that night and clean out the refrigerator.
Right.
But they're in the back room. It's pitch black back there. There's a stretcher bed. This is where they used to do the examinations of patients. So one particular night I was in there, and I was working night shift again, and I had the door.
You're just asking for trouble, aren't you, Janelle? You're just, working those night shifts, you're just asking for trouble.
I guess I am. Well, my coworker came in, and I'm down, stooped down, you know, on the refrigerator,
right.
getting ready to take the water out. And as soon as he walked in, he said, "What you doing?" I said, "I'm cleaning the refrigerator." All of a sudden, in the back, I hadn't turned on the light yet, we heard this loud bang. Like, it sounded like somebody took two telephone books and stood up on the table and slammed them as hard as they could on the floor.
Right.
So I'm scared. I'm thinking, I walked in here. I was in here first. Nobody that I know of was back there because I hadn't had a chance to look yet because I hadn't turned on the light. So I'm stooped down by the refrigerator. I look up at my coworker. So I'm looking at him to make sure that he didn't look scared. His eyes were big as moons. And he said, "Who's back there?" I was so glad that he spoke because I froze. He spoke. He said, "Who's back there?"
Right.
So I said, "Oh, my gosh." I said, he walked through the swing door. He went back in the back room, turned on the light, and I said, "Who's back there?" He said, "No one." I said, "Well, what fell?" And he said, "There's nothing on the floor. There's nothing." I said, "Oh, God." I said, "Please don't leave me by myself. Let me go and empty this water out. Forget about wiping out the refrigerator. I'll empty the water, plug it back up, and I'll get out of here."
Right.
So we left after that, and the next, and that night, that very night, I told the supervisor about what happened. I said, I no longer want to, you know, count narcotics. I don't want nothing to do with that room. So I gave the keys up.
Oh, man. You know what? And it's stuff like, especially now that, again, Halloween's about 2 weeks away. You know, you're talking about ghosts and stuff, and the only thing that it always reminds me of Poltergeist.
Yeah.
You know, where they have the revelation that where their house is situated. Oh, my.
Oh, yeah.
There it is. There it is.
Son of a bitch, you moved the cemetery, but you left the bodies, didn't you? You son of a bitch, you left the bodies, and you only moved the headstones. You only moved the headstones.
Oh, my goodness. Imagine that. Imagine if you found out the hospital you work in, the night shift, that there used to be a cemetery there, and they only moved the headstones.
Oh, you know what? I'm not really sure because it had been there for years, and I'm not really sure. But I know they did tear it down, but that major hallway was always haunted. I mean, there's other stories, too.
Oh.
I don't have time to go into.
Yeah, I could imagine.
There's a lot more, and which leads me to tell the audience, I do have a poem written about Halloween in Growing Up Poetry.
Yeah, let's get to that because we're almost out of time, and I want to make sure we get that in.
Well, it's a short poem, and keep into mind that it's children-based, but adults enjoy the poem, too.
Oh, it'll scare the crap out of parents, too? Awesome.
Huh?
It'll scare the crap out of parents, too? Awesome.
Oh, no. It's a really cute little poem. It's about trick-or-treating.
Okay, good.
It's on page 41, and it goes like this. It's
okay.
Dark and gray October. Halloween is here. I've got my little costume. I'll be a witch this year. Vampires, dogs, cats, and bats. All my friends are dressed like that. Down the street, away we go, collecting candy and bags of glow. Eating candy is fun, but yet, being with my friends is best. And that's Halloween on page 41.
Right. And that's not very scary, so that's good.
No, I got pictures of kids in their little Halloween costumes and their little trick-or-treating bags and pumpkins on a dark, starry night.
Right.
And what are you dressing up for this year?
Oh, well, you know what? I won't be trick-or-treating. I'll be working the graveyard shift.
Oh, again? Oh, my goodness. You better dress up something good for the graveyard shift.
Yeah.
Be able to scare those ghosts right back. Be like, nope,
right.
I got you beat this year. I'm going as Pennywise.
Oh, are you?
Oh, I don't
oh
know.
My. Okay.
I'm just joking. Again, our guest has been Janelle White. She is the author based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. JanelleWhite.com is her website. Go there and see the books that she's got on offer. She's got two books, vastly different crowds for each one. Of course, each one can be bought by the same person because, let's face it, if you got kids, you're probably stressed for money. And if you've got money issues, probably you need to feel some goodness in your life with a little bit of poetry. Both books can be purchased through Amazon, Books A Million, or BarnesandNoble.com. Just put in the author's name, Janelle White, or if you can remember the titles, even better. Easiest Short Long-Term Plan for Saving Money is one, and the other one is Growing Up Poetry, both by Janelle White. She's been our guest. And thank you so much once again for joining us. You know, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. You're very welcome. We'll be back with more on All Business Media right after these words.
All Business Media presents the Professionals Roundtable. Hear what's hot in the professional world. Timely topics to propel your career to the next level. Professionals Roundtable with Rick Delgado. Exclusively on All Business Media.
Hi, this is Terry Crews. Actor, former football player, game show host, father of five, and all-around big dude. I'm also an expert on drama. I know all kinds of drama. There's the good kind that comes with having a house full of kids. There's the bad kind, like season-ending injuries. There's the necessary kind, like having an agent in Hollywood. And there's silly drama, like the drama around my percolating pectorals. And then there's the drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your high school diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org.
Or text DIPLOMA to 97779. Message and data rates may apply. Reply STOP to opt out. That's DIPLOMA to 97779. And leave the drama to actors like me.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.